Tonight, breaking news involving former President Trump and that search at Mar-a-Lago. Tonight, the Justice Department now asking a federal magistrate judge to keep the affidavit sealed after releasing the search warrant. The DOJ now arguing that releasing the affidavit would compromise their ongoing criminal investigation with national security implications, making it clear a grand jury is involved. And tonight, ABC News confirming federal authorities are now trying to retrace the classified documents they recovered. How did they get there? Were they anyplace else? And who had access to them along the way? And federal investigators looking at surveillance from inside Mar-a-Lago. Our Chief Justice correspondent, Pierre Thomas, with late reporting. Also breaking, an arrest in Pennsylvania tonight after alleged threats against the FBI. The suspect allegedly writing, if you work with the FBI, you, quote, deserve to die. Terry Moran standing by. Also, the major headline tonight involving Rudy Giuliani. ABC News has now learned Giuliani has been informed that he's considered a target of the criminal investigation in Georgia. The investigation into alleged efforts to overturn the results of the election there. Cecilia Vega and what we've learned. Tonight, Iran responding after the attack on author Salman Rushdie in New York State. Stabbed multiple times, Rushdie on a ventilator for a time. He might lose an eye. We do have news on his condition and what Iran is now saying about any suspicion they were involved. Tonight, 1 year since the chaotic and deadly withdrawal in Afghanistan, what our team has now witnessed there. The Taliban celebrating in the streets, many with American-made weapons. The babies malnourished, the women and girls who bravely tried to demonstrate for their rights, and then the gunfire meant to scare them off the streets. Ian Pannell back in Kabul tonight. Back in this country, the youth football coach turning himself in, accused of shooting and killing another coach. The suspect is the brother of a former NFL star. The deadly alligator attack in South Carolina tonight, authorities say the alligator was found guarding the body. Two recalls tonight. More than 2 million baby rockers and swings are now being recalled. And then the frozen pizza recall. More than 13,000 pounds of pizza now being recalled tonight.
From ABC News World Headquarters in New York, this is World News Tonight with David Muir.
Good evening. It is great to start another week with all of you at home. And we begin tonight with breaking news involving the former president and that search at Mar-a-Lago. After the release of the search warrant, tonight the Department of Justice is now fighting the release of the affidavit, arguing it would compromise the criminal investigation. The DOJ revealing a grand jury is involved in this ongoing investigation that implicates national security. The DOJ also making it clear it needs to keep the affidavit private to protect the identities of witnesses who are involved. Tonight, we're also learning more about the investigation into what they found, those 11 sets of classified documents, some with the highest possible level of classification, meaning only a select few are ever supposed to handle these documents, and only in very secure locations. Tonight, federal investigators want to know, of these documents, how did they get there? Were they ever at any other locations? And who had access to them along the way? And federal investigators now looking at surveillance from inside Mar-a-Lago. Tonight, former President Trump claiming the FBI also took three of his passports. Tonight, the former president's explanation so far for these documents amid a growing threat to the FBI and law enforcement. Tonight, the arrest and the alleged threat made that anyone working with the FBI deserves to die. That was the quote. ABC's Chief Justice correspondent Pierre Thomas leading us off tonight.
Tonight, the Justice Department revealing it has witnesses cooperating in the investigation into the mishandling of highly classified documents seized at Mar-a-Lago and indicating a grand jury is involved. In a court filing, prosecutors arguing that their affidavit, their roadmap to the case, must remain sealed to protect those witnesses, calling it an ongoing investigation that implicates national security.
They certainly don't want to put former President Trump or anyone close to him on notice of what they are looking at.
It comes as the former president today claimed in a social media post that the FBI took his passports during that search. As for those seized classified and secret documents, investigators must now try to retrace their movements since they were allegedly taken from the White House to determine whether the country's national secrets have been compromised. Investigators could check the documents for fingerprints and would likely interview Trump officials.
If there was this big pool of classified information sitting at President Trump's residence, trying to figure out who knew what when or had access to what when, from a chain of custody perspective, will be really important for the investigators.
Sources say investigators are now scrubbing through security footage they subpoenaed from Mar-a-Lago, at least one camera capturing the hallway outside of Trump's storage facility. ABC News has learned that a Trump attorney signed a statement in June after the visit from the FBI, saying all classified documents at Mar-a-Lago had been turned over. But that was not true. The FBI would seize 11 sets of classified documents during its search, some of it marked top secret and others SCI, meaning it came from the most sensitive intelligence sources, often involving secrets from allies, electronic eavesdropping, informants, and other spying. The most sensitive SCI material includes nuclear secrets and information about terrorism operations, material so sensitive that it has to be kept under lock anytime it's moved.
The fact that it is now outside, or has been outside of those really controlled environments, again, is pretty disturbing and shocking to see.
As a candidate, Donald Trump vowed to safeguard classified material.
In my administration, I'm going to enforce all laws concerning the protection of classified information. No one will be above the law.
But Trump now caught up in an investigation involving possible violations of espionage, mishandling of documents, and obstruction of justice. Since the raid, Trump's explanations have shifted. His team now says he had a standing order to declassify documents the moment they were removed from the Oval Office and taken to the residence.
I think that claim is almost certainly a lie. It would have to be documented what they were, each document, so that people would know what had been declassified. And I know of no logistical train, no paper train at all that says what's declassified and what's not. When somebody's making up stories like that, I think it indicates a level of desperation.
Tonight, the Republican and Democratic leaders of the Senate Intelligence Committee are asking to get secure access to the seized documents, along with an assessment of potential risks to national security as a result of their mishandling. These kinds of documents are precisely what U.S. adversaries try to steal, and security gaps at Mar-a-Lago have long been a concern. In 2019, a Chinese national was arrested and convicted of lying to Secret Service agents after entering a restricted area. Authorities later finding 9 thumb drives and a device to detect hidden cameras in her hotel room.
And so let's get right to Pierre Thomas with us live tonight. Pierre, you have reported here that the Justice Department wants to keep that affidavit sealed. And we have reported all along here that the affidavit would reveal a lot more than the search warrant already revealed last week. I know the Department of Justice argues it would compromise the criminal investigation here. Remind our audience the kinds of things that would be in an affidavit that we did not see in the search warrant.
David, it would be a roadmap to the investigation. It would talk about witnesses. It would talk about avenues that the investigation will pursue. It's not the kind of information that they want anyone to know right now.
Pierre Thomas with us off the top tonight. Pierre, thank you. And I mentioned at the top of the broadcast, threats made against the FBI have been growing. This evening, a Pennsylvania man is under arrest, accused of multiple threats against the FBI after the search at Mar-a-Lago, allegedly writing, quote, "If you work for the FBI, you deserve to die." The FBI issuing a warning, and here's our senior national correspondent, Terry Moran.
Tonight, a Pennsylvania man arrested and charged with making threats against the FBI after that search at Donald Trump's Mar-a-Lago residence last week. Court documents reveal that the suspect, Adam Bies, allegedly posted on a conservative social media site, "If you work for the FBI, then you deserve to die." This comes amid escalating anger on the far right about the Mar-a-Lago search. And as the FBI, joined by the Department of Homeland Security, issued a stark bulletin warning of an increase in threats and acts of violence against law enforcement, including a threat to place a so-called dirty bomb in front of FBI headquarters and issuing general calls for, quote, civil war and armed rebellion.
They talk about this as unusual because you have a political side of this where there are politicians fanning the flames, angering Mr. Trump's followers. And the real concern is, one of them, or more than one, are going to take up arms.
That bulletin, distributed just a day after an armed suspect tried to breach the FBI's Cincinnati field office.
They're following a car for the FBI.
The assailant, 42-year-old Ricky Schiffer, was killed in a standoff. According to authorities, he posted extensively on social media, and he too was furious about the search at Mar-a-Lago, calling for war and to kill FBI agents on sight. Over the weekend, a small group of Trump supporters gathered outside the Phoenix FBI office, some of them armed.
We're going to fight, and we're going to take the fight to the FBI if need be.
Today, Trump spoke out in his first interview since the raid, saying there is tremendous anger like I've never seen before. But with news of tonight's charges, the DOJ signaling they will take every threat against law enforcement seriously.
Every day, they protect the American people from violent crime, terrorism, and other threats to their safety while safeguarding our civil rights. They do so at great personal sacrifice and risk to themselves.
And those risks are increasing. That FBI DHS bulletin specifically mentions calls on far-right social media sites and message boards for the targeted killing of officials in the judicial branch and other parts of the government who were involved in that Mar-a-Lago search. David?
Terry Moran also with us tonight. Thank you, Terry. The other major headline tonight involving a very close supporter of the former president. ABC News has learned tonight that Rudy Giuliani has been informed that he is, in fact, a target in a criminal probe into alleged efforts to overturn the election results in Georgia. Let's get right to our chief White House correspondent, Cecilia Vega, with us from Washington as well tonight. And Cecilia, what have you learned?
Well, David, this investigation into whether former President Trump and his allies tried to overturn the results of the 2020 election there in Georgia really appears to be ramping up tonight. Giuliani's lawyer telling us today that he is a target in this ongoing probe. Giuliani, of course, was former President Trump's personal lawyer, and he spread widespread conspiracy theories about ballot counting in Georgia, where, of course, you're going to remember that's when former President Trump said that he wanted to find some 12,000 votes in that state. That, of course, was the amount of votes that Joe Biden won Georgia by. Giuliani is now set to testify before a special grand jury, though he is expected to claim attorney-client privileges when this happens on Wednesday if he is asked about Donald Trump. But David, listen to this. Tonight, another Trump ally, Lindsey Graham, ordered to testify before that same grand jury. Investigators want to hear from the South Carolina senator about calls that he made to Georgia elections officials. Tonight, David, Graham's office says he does plan to appeal this decision.
Cecilia Vega on both headlines tonight. Cecilia, thank you as always. In the meantime, we turn now to the attack on author Salman Rushdie. Tonight, Iran now responding after the horrific attack in western New York. Rushdie had lived in hiding for years after Iran's top cleric called for his death. Tonight, Rushdie now off a ventilator. He might lose an eye. He has been able to communicate. ABC's Mola Lenghi in Erie, Pennsylvania, and he begins here with what Iran is now saying about this tonight.
Tonight, Iran's foreign ministry denying any connection to Hadi Mutar, the man authorities say stabbed Salman Rushdie nearly a dozen times. Despite decades of calls for his death, Iran instead blaming the author himself and his supporters, writing, "No one deserves condemnation except of Rushdie himself and his supporters." Investigators describe Friday's storming of the stage at the Chautauqua Institution in western New York as a pre-planned apparent assassination attempt. Authorities say the 24-year-old Mutar had a fake ID and photos on his phone of Iranian General Qasem Soleimani, who was killed in a U.S. drone strike in 2020. Iran has sought revenge for his death. The State Department weighing in today.
It's despicable. It's disgusting. We condemn it.
Rushdie has nerve and liver damage, according to his agent, and is likely to lose an eye. He's been a target for Muslim extremists ever since the release of his novel, The Satanic Verses. He spent nearly 30 years looking over his shoulder, longer than the suspect has been alive.
David, the suspect pleaded not guilty, is due back in court Friday. Meanwhile, Rushdie is awake and recovering, according to his son, who wrote, "Though his life-changing injuries are severe, his usual feisty and defiant sense of humor remain intact." David. Mola Lenghi in western New York. Mola, thank you again tonight. We turn this evening to the youth football coach turning himself in, accused of shooting and killing another coach in Texas. Tonight, that suspect, one of the coaches, is the former brother of the brother of a former NFL star. Marcus Moore from Dallas now.
Tonight in Lancaster, Texas, just outside Dallas, the manhunt is over for the suspect in a fatal shooting at a children's football game. 39-year-old Yaqub Talib turning himself in. Police looking for him since Saturday when a youth football game descended into chaos. Police arriving to find 43-year-old coach Mike Hickman had been shot. He was raced to the hospital, but did not survive. Hickman's 9-year-old son, Mike Jr., was on the field.
I held his son, little Mike Jr., and I held him like my son. It was very, very, very hard to hold him and console him.
Police saying they were told of a disagreement among coaching staff and the officiating crew. Police now reviewing this cell phone video as part of their investigation. Gunfire ringing out. Hickman on the ground as people try to help. The suspect is the brother of former NFL cornerback and Super Bowl champ Aqib Talib. Both brothers coach one of the teams. Tonight, Coach Hickman's family saying, "Michael was our everything. Mike left his family. He left football.
David, Yaqub Talib's attorney tells ABC News that Talib is sorry for the terrible loss of life and that he turned himself into authorities today so he can start telling his side of the story. David.
All right, Marcus Moore in Dallas. Thank you, Marcus. We turn overseas tonight and 1 year since the chaotic and deadly withdrawal in Afghanistan. What our team has now witnessed there, the Taliban celebrating in the streets, many with American-made weapons, and what they've also found, the babies malnourished, the women and girls who were bravely trying to demonstrate in the streets to get their rights back, and then the gunfire meant to scare them off. Here's our chief foreign correspondent, Ian Pannell, back in Kabul tonight.
Tonight, 1 year since Kabul fell to America's old enemy, the Taliban, out in force, celebrating what they're calling Victory Day. Many armed with American-made weapons, some atop American-made armored vehicles.
These scenes would have been unimaginable just 12 months ago, but today the Taliban is celebrating what they see as their victory over America and the West. But for so many Afghans, today there's nothing to celebrate.
We were on the ground when US troops withdrew from Afghanistan last August, witnessing the chaotic and desperate scenes at the airport as tens of thousands of people tried to escape, some even clinging on to US military planes. But this is the reality of the new Afghanistan. Malnourished babies crowding this hospital ward, families struggling to eat, and women forced to hide behind a veil, right back where they were 20 years ago. This weekend, a small group of brave women took to the streets demanding their rights, only to be met by a volley of gunfire from Taliban fighters shooting over their heads. We visited a secret underground school where the students and the teacher risked their lives to defy the Taliban. This girl remembers what it was like to be allowed to go to school. She hopes one day they'll have the right to study out in the open once again. Taliban spokesman Abdul Kahar Balki telling me women are being given their rights despite all the evidence.
Each society interprets rights of human beings, men, women, children, neighbors, the planet, animals, differently. It is the sovereign choice of the United States of what laws it enacts. What we are asking for is the same level of respect when it comes to our sovereign choices.
David, 1 year later, the administration's still feeling the political fallout. Now Republicans blasting the hasty end to America's longest war as a failure. The Biden administration, of course, rejecting that, instead saying that the recent drone strike killing the head of Al-Qaeda here in Kabul is proof that it can keep America safe without the need for boots on the ground. David?
But an alarming portrait of the rights lost 1 year later. Ian Pannell, we're grateful you traveled back. Thank you. When we come back here on this Monday night, the news coming in this evening about the monkeypox outbreak here in the U.S. and children, the new number, and that deadly alligator attack.
We've got the exclusive view behind the table. Every day, right after the show, while the topics are still hot, the ladies go deeper into the moments that make the view, the view. The Views Behind the Table podcast. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, I'm Andy Mitchell, a New York Times bestselling author.
And I'm Sabrina Kohlberg, a morning television producer. We're moms of toddlers and best friends of 20 years.
And we both love to talk about being parents, yes, but also pop culture.
So we're combining our two interests by talking to celebrities, writers, and fellow scholars of TV and movies.
Cinema, really.
About what we all can learn from the fictional moms we love to watch.
From ABC Audio and Good Morning America, Pop Culture Moms is out now wherever you listen to podcasts.
The first ever criminal trial of a former president is underway in Manhattan. It's one of potentially four trials facing former President Trump as he makes his third bid for the White House. What do voters think about his culpability, and would a guilty verdict make a difference in the election? I'm Galen Druk, and every Monday and Thursday on the 538 Politics podcast, we break down the latest news from the campaign trail. We sort through the noise and zoom in on what really matters, using data and research as we go. That's 538 Politics every Monday and Thursday, wherever you get your podcasts.
Now to the monkeypox outbreak spreading in the U.S. A seventh child has now been infected. State data showing a child 4 years or younger has tested positive in Martin County, Florida. Late last week, health officials in Maine confirming a child there had also tested positive for the virus. Authorities are investigating that deadly alligator attack in Sun City, Hilton Head, South Carolina. Authorities receiving a call about a large alligator near a pond, said to be guarding a person it had killed. Emergency crews were covering the body of a woman at the scene. Authorities now trying to remove the gator from that pond. To the index of other news tonight, and more than 2 million infant rockers and swings are now being recalled. The company 4Moms voluntarily recalling certain Mamaroo baby swings and Rockaroo baby rockers because they say crawling babies could get entangled in those dangling restraint straps. At least one death has been reported. Parents with crawling infants are urged to stop using those products. And that recall involving more than 13,000 pounds of frozen pizza. Home Run Inn pulling their 33.5-ounce pizzas topped with sausage, pepperoni, onions, and peppers because they may be tainted with small pieces of metal. Affected packages have a Best Buy date of December 3rd. We have more on both recalls on our website for you. Finally tonight here, exploring the deep caves of Missouri and the discovery. Tonight, the story of one resilient dog missing for months and then the discovery. Jerry Keene was on a caving trip exploring caves in Perryville, Missouri, 500 feet deep inside Missouri's second largest cave, when suddenly he discovers a dog too weak to move. Jerry crawling and climbing his way back to the top to call for help, experienced caver Rick Haley answering the call. Together, the two men and their teams began making the trek back into the cave to find the dog. Using a duffel bag and blankets to protect the dog, they maneuvered their way out, each carrying Abby, who is 13. It turns out Abby had been missing for nearly 2 months, and Kathy and Jeff Bonert, her owners, are grateful. They say they live in the same town as those caves, but had no idea how she got there.
How you doing, David?
Tonight here, one of the rescuers.
It was very obvious she wasn't gonna make it on her own. There's a lot of climbing, there's a lot of crawling. It was as fun as it looks.
Hi, David, this is Abby.
And Abby, back where their owners.
She's been through a lot this past week. She's doing really well, though. We're really fortunate to have her back.
Grateful to be home. We're grateful Abby is home and grateful to those rescuers. Good night.